And now from the movie theaters to the theater with our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Hey, Judy, good to see you.
Good to be here, Tom.
So today we're going to talk about a production of a new thing at Cockpit in Court. The title of the play, I have always wondered about this, and I'm dying to ask her. I'm so glad you and the entire country waits with bated breath to find out the answer to this. The name of the play is Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean. So I assume that James Dean is a character in the play, but why does the title have his name in there twice?
Well, Tom, your assumption is wrong. James Dean is not...
As it often is.
He is not a character in the play. The title actually refers to James Dean's supposed son. The play takes place in a small town in Texas in 1975, near the place where the movie Giant was filmed 20 years earlier. The boy's mother, Mona, was an extra in the movie, and the boy's birth after James Dean died in a car accident made Mona a celebrity. Now, as to why the name appears twice in the title, I have a couple theories. The first four words spoken in the play are Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean, referring to the boy. And the name may also be repeated because it refers to two Jimmy Deans. It refers to James Dean, the movie star, and it also refers to his presumed offspring. And this isn't a new play. It was actually written in 1976 by a playwright named Ed Grotchick. It takes place in a dime store, not surprisingly from the title. Mona is holding a fan reunion there, honoring the 20th anniversary of the movie star's death. There's always drama in a reunion. Almost all of the attendees at this reunion have secrets that they're trying to hide, sometimes from themselves. And of course, the secrets come out, and it turns into actually kind of a dark night of the soul. Plus, a stranger arrives and upsets the order of things. So these are all fairly conventional, dramatic elements, devices. But in one respect, this play is ahead of its time. It includes a transgender character, and that character is the most self-aware character in the play. There's also...
So this is 1976.
It was written in 1976, right.
That's something.
And it uses one interesting dramatic device. We see the three main characters in the present, and we also see them 20 years ago played by younger actors, and sometimes they're on stage simultaneously. I brought you a clip. This is Regina Rose and Liz Boyer Honeycutt as the adult Mona and Juanita, the owner of the dime store, and they are anticipating the reunion.
20 years tonight. Seems like only yesterday, doesn't it? When that fatal crash took away his life.
Lord, I nearly forgot. Stella May called just as your bus was pulling in to say that she stopped over in Odessa to give Edna Louise a ride.
Anybody else call you and say they was coming?
I'm afraid not.
Maybe they're intending to surprise us, do you think?
Now, don't get your heart too set on it.
I sent them little reminder notes to everyone asking them to RSVP.
It's been 20 years. Things change.
That's Regina Rose and Liz Boyer Honeycutt. They're in Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean at Cockpit in Court. So, of course, Judy, Maryland is the northernmost southern state, the southernmost northern state. How do these local actors do portraying these small-town Texans?
Yes, with this southern twang. Liz Boyer Honeycutt, whom you just heard, she's the first character we see. She's talking on the phone and swatting flies. And I think as you could tell from those accents, they do a pretty good job with this southern twang. Liz Boyer Honeycutt also has a really good deadpan comic timing. I also want to single out Laura Malkus, who plays the stranger, Joanne, and gives Joanne an edge and a sophistication that are a bit foreign in these parts, and she's lost a bit of that accent intentionally. Regina Rose, whom we also just heard, plays Mona, I think, a bit too low-key. This is the most diluted character in the play. She has a bit of the Munchausen syndrome by proxy. She insists that her son has mental health problems, basically to keep him dependent on her. She's a difficult character to warm up to. But Sarah Jones, who plays Mona 20 years earlier, is the find of this production. She just graduated from Patapsco High School and Center for the Arts. She completely captures the essence of this provincial, star-struck teenage girl. Let's listen to a bit of Sarah Jones as young Mona. You're going to hear her spirit and her intensity. This is a scene with another of the teenage characters, Joe, played by Jake Schwartz.
Run away with me, Mona. Two of us could go away and...
I can't leave, Joe. Not now. I just got back. The climate here is perfect for my asthma. The doctor said so. I might die if I ever leave again.
You don't know how much I missed you, Mona.
I, I missed you too, Joe. And Sissy and...
You being away made me realize how much I care about you. How much I love you.
Love? No, no. You only think
no,
you...
No, it's real. I know it's real. Love me back. Please.
Jake Schwartz and Sarah Jones. Judy Russick, Judy Russick calls her the standout in Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean. That's a Cockpit in Court. So obviously there's a five and dime in the title. Those of us of a certain age remember what five and dimes are.
Oh, yes.
So how authentic is the five and dime at Cockpit in Court?
It's fairly authentic. The set designer is Mo Khan, and he has replicated a 1970s dime store, but a dime store that hasn't changed since the 1950s. I also want to give kudos, let's give props to the props master.
props to the props.
Lisa Boren. The store has a shrine to James Dean. It has photos and posters and magazines. And there also are holiday decorations, everything from Halloween to Easter to July 4th. And somewhere they found grape knee-high sodas, this vintage soft drink. I think that Cockpit should actually be selling grape knee-high sodas in their concession stand.
They probably cost $300 a bottle.
Who knows? Who knows?
Because they're so rare.
I should say that the show is staged in Cockpit's upstairs cabaret theater, which has a in-the-round configuration. And it's actually kind of an unfortunate configuration for such a detailed, realistic set. A lot of the important set elements are relegated to corners, the soda fountain, the shrine. Direction is by Linda Chambers, and the action does leave some of the audience occasionally having trouble finding the actors or craning their necks to see in corners, maybe looking at their backs. But some of these past and present scenes that overlap are directed by Linda Chambers in a really seamless manner, one of the loveliest aspects of the show.
Cool. So, you know, I've heard of this play forever, but I always just assumed it was a comedy, yet I was really surprised. You've just called this a dark night of the soul. But is it a funny play as well? Is it a comedy or not?
Well, it is a kind of comedy, and Linda Chambers' cast really lets these comic sparks fly. It's not a comedy of one-liners, although there are some pretty sharp, sarcastic quips. The situation of worshiping James Dean is kind of funny. The fans call themselves the Disciples of James Dean. There are some funny gags involving props, but I have to say the script also has at least one ethnic slur. It's been softened at Cockpit, but it's still there. And the way that some of these women are fooling themselves ultimately is really more bittersweet than it is funny.
So obviously, comedy or not, there's a serious side to this play. So thematically, is there an overarching theme? And is this production effective in conveying those themes, if there's more than one even?
It is pretty effective. It has the play has a central theme, really the danger of living a lie, of fooling yourself. At one point, the character of Joanne says of Riata, the mansion where the movie of Giant took place, "It was nothing but a big phony front all along." And that's kind of the central metaphor for this play. It examines what's real and what's phony, what truly matters, and what is just a false front. And there are other themes. The play is also about acceptance. It's about understanding. It's a commentary on blind faith, even religious faith. Mona says of James Dean that he chose me from everyone else to bring his child into the world. She believes this. So it's kind of an odd play. It's a bit of a cult favorite. One of the reasons it's familiar to you, I imagine, is that it was made into a movie by Robert Altman in 1982. It had this all-star cast, Cher and Sandy Dennis and Karen Black. Cockpit in Court does a decent job of the play, but it's a very quirky play, and it left some of the audience kind of scratching their heads on opening night.
Interesting, but you know, it's been around for 40-something years
now. Oh, yeah. I mean, it has a following, no question.
Yeah, good for them. All right, Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean. It's at Cockpit in Court until Sunday, and we've got a link to the details about the showtimes and all that stuff on our website, wypr.org/midday. So next week, Judy, you're going to tell us about a brand new musical in D.C. What's that?
Right. This is a musical adaptation of the movie Dave. Do you remember this 1993 movie? Kevin Kline was a presidential lookalike who ends up filling in for the commander-in-chief. I'm really looking forward to seeing this.
All right. A new musical. It's at Arena Stage in Washington. That'll be next week. All right. See you then. Thanks
so
much.
See you then, Tom.
Lunch for Midday on Thursdays is provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each and every day listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That will do it for us today. Tomorrow, a conversation with Mildred Mohammed. She's the ex-wife of the man who terrorized our region as the D.C. sniper 16 years ago. She has written a book about domestic violence, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow on Midday. We're also going to hear some gypsy jazz music. Alexis Tantau and Michael Joseph Harris of Hot Club Baltimore will share some tunes with us right here live in Studio A. I hope you can join us then. On behalf of the entire Midday team, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. Thanks for sending us tweets and following us on Twitter. Stay tuned for Here and Now. That's on the way right after a break for news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.